Today, as we've been going through, we've done a lot of foods and a lot of drink, and we've done a lot of different things that are on here. We're on watermelon today. And it was really funny because as I'm doing this all week, my wife's preparing the snack for her church afterwards, her fellowship, and she's cutting watermelon on the table. I said, oh, you got me a watermelon so I could take for Sunday and to go with the message. She says, no, that's for our people afterwards. I said, well, if there's any left, I'll take some with me. Wasn't any left, because I think after she finished it up there, the kids and everybody else got into it last night, so I think there was a slice left. The watermelon, as we're dealing with our scripture today, is in Psalm 63, and Psalm 63 is actually titled as a psalm. It's called The Thirsting Heart, and that's why we say watermelon is a thirst quencher or something more. Oh, don't want that one. There's a nice looking watermelon. And one of the things that I found out about watermelon when I was looking at it, that it is a vegetable and not a fruit. It's related to squash and pumpkin of the gourd family. So what happens is that it can be grown a whole bunch of different ways. So about 20 years ago, they decided in Japan, because when they had these round watermelons, you know, when you go into the store and you grab a watermelon out and you find it and it rolls around and you put it in the fridge and it usually open the door and it rolls out or something after you've cut it. So they decided to make square watermelons. They took the watermelons, a little seed when it was growing on the vine, and they forced it into these acrylic boxes while it was on the vine. So what would happen is they would fit all this in there, and the stem would go out and be hooked up onto the vine, and this acrylic box was in there, so it would come out in this square shape, which is really, when you think about it, kind of neat. A heck of a lot easier to make those nice little square cubes out that we would want to see in here like this for the dessert up in here. You know, make those nice little squares, because you got this round circle and a watermelon making squares, so if it's square, it's going to make it a lot easier to cut. And it's not going to roll on my feet or roll all over the table while I'm trying to cut it. It's going to stay in one place. So many different ways to have watermelon. As a dessert with some cheese on it, a drink is water, lemonade, or just as itself as a watermelon or a slice. And it's really juicy, and it does quench our thirst in a lot of ways. But for watermelons, there were some interesting facts that I was going through there. That there's over 1,200 varieties of watermelon are growing worldwide. 1,200. Do you realize that not only can it quench your thirst, but it can quench inflammation that contributes to conditions like asthma, osteoporosis, diabetes, colon cancer, and arthritis? It's the ideal health food because it doesn't contain any fat or cholesterol. It's high in fiber, vitamin A and C, good source of potassium. Doctor's going to love you if you eat watermelon. All that healthy stuff. Pink watermelon is also the source of potent carbohydrate, antioxidant, lipocine. And they travel through our body, neutralizing the radicals. As I said, watermelon's a vegetable. And, believe it or not, they used watermelons as canteens originally. Because it's of the gourd family, they would hollow it out and dry it out, and they would make gourds out of it. Take about a year for it to totally dry. But they could make it, and it would be as hard as wood and hold water and whatever else they wanted to carry in it. Oops. Now, there's some other ones in there. About 1999, out in Saskatchewan, the Rough Riders were doing kind of not too good, so they decided that this guy made this watermelon helmet out of there. And it's on YouTube. You can figure out how to make it. So he made this helmet to put on his head, to wear to the game, to turn them around and take pride in this losing football team in the CFL. He wore it for 5 games in a row. And they won the 5 games. On the 6th game, they lost. And the watermelon helmet was getting pretty ratty and despair. So he chucked it, threw it out, and made a new one. But there's parties that they go and they make this in here every day to go on. The part that it was interesting that I found out is that when they cut the part out for the face, is all that white part that you see on the watermelon, that whitish part on the, or yellowy part on the watermelon, is the part that lays against the ground as it's growing. The green part is all the part that's above in there. So that's the part they cut out to make the face and the helmet. And of course, I found that picture of a cat with the, called the cat helmet in there, and I thought it was kind of cute, so we threw it in there. But, so how do we figure watermelon going in with Scripture? Our Scripture that we're based this on is on Psalm 63, primarily the first 8 verses, but all 11 actually fit in. Psalm 63 was probably one of the earliest introductions and was greatly valued in the earliest church as a song, because it introduced the idea of singing the Psalms in worship. And the Hebrew title for this is called The Thirsting Heart. It is a psalm that, when we look at it, it's personal, as most of the psalms were. It's very personal in regards to David's life being involved in there, to where he was, and where his needs, and where he's been asking for his needs. And where he has basically has been, what it refers to in there, where he has been chased by Saul through the desert. And some scholar decided to equate this to when he was in there in 1 Samuel, as Saul was chasing him, and to go through was in there. It is a psalm that is very much asking for needs. It's a prayer for help in basically the first person style that we have in here. Right in the first God, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. A reference into the time when he was in the desert being chased by Saul, and he was hiding. He had nowhere to go. Nowhere to be met. It's also a place where we can come to into our day's world also, where a person who comes to the sanctuary from a dangerous world where people are seeking his or her life. And our lives are sought, not in this case of David, where it was literally, physically seeking, but in a way that we have our lives that are sought and are challenged by the world itself coming down on us, that they want us to go into the world's way and not into the way that God wants us to live and to be, not into Christ's way. It's a personal prayer that we find throughout, I left it over here, Psalm 35, Psalm 42, and Psalm 43. It's found in Psalm 35, in verse 8, where he says, may ruin overtake them by surprise, may the net they hid entangle them, and may they fall into the pit to their ruin. A prayer where he's going back in to his God, that those that are seeking them, those that are challenging David, those that are challenging us, for God's intervention, a personal prayer to God for help. Personal prayer. And in 36, in your light you see the light. 42 is another, and 43. 42 and 43 are a psalm that actually go together, of the thirsting soul for God. And you probably know it in that psalm that's actually put to words. When we sing it, it's called in there as a deer pants for water. And that's, I think, Psalm 130. Yes, it is. But it starts off in the first three, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. What powerful words that are there. And I'm thinking about when I look at all the various uses of watermelon that we have in the world today for what it can do to us. I'm looking at how in this psalm we search for that. We search for that in so many ways in a salvationist being and that we have in here, that our relationship is one that although you have the seeds in the watermelon and seeds are there in our life in there, there is so much sweetness and contentment that the Lord gives us. So many benefits He has given us in there. It is a problem that we face in today's world that they don't want us to be where we are. And that was a problem that happened even back in David's time that was in here, and we can see it in here, where when we preach a salvation Christianity, and we are a people that have been saved by salvation, that it is so important to us. That salvation that comes through and into our lives and into our being is one that comes from a relationship with God. Where it lifts in there and comes in verse 5, where it very comes in and the answer is there. May my soul be satisfied as with marrow in abundance, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. An answer, a thirst quencher, a soul quencher, a soul revivalist. Salvation comes in many ways. David was one that always looked to the Lord and gave thanks to the Lord, and in here he is going forward in there. And he gives thanks to Him. And he realizes that how much, as the more that he does and serves God, the more that we love and serve God, the more that our soul, although quenched and satisfied, hungers for more. It's like drinking, and I don't drink a lot of pop, but every once in a while you get in there, you drink some pop, and that sweetness keeps you wanting to go back some more. But if you drink too much of it, you're all full and bloated. And sometimes when we preach salvation that's going on in there, it happens the same way that we change it. That it changes into a way that becomes uncomfortable. Today in the Star, there was an article in there about the United Church of Canada. It wasn't a very flattering article. It didn't make the United Church sound very good at all. But it was an article in there that basically reminded me a bit in here that they was telling them that they were too open, too wide, that there was in response to somebody's complaint of something else. It was a letter written in response to a complaint put in about Christianity in the United Church. It was about a half a page article. As they say, it wasn't very flattering, but it came from a world point of view. We talked about this a couple of worlds, a worldview that says this is how you have to be. As a Christian, this is how you have to be in the world. But we know that God has told us in this world and here, this is where we are. We meditate on you in the night watches. And I remember talking one time to my pastor, and I said, you know, I was young and I was doing my prayers, you know, every night doing my prayers. And I said, I'm doing my prayers and I fall asleep. And he said, that's not a bad thing. He said, because I was feeling that I'm cheating God. I'm praying to God, I'm falling asleep. And I figured, I'm cheating Him. But he said, no. He said, you are giving Him, what better way to go offering your prayers of concern, your prayers of thanksgiving, your prayers of thanks for the day. And I looked at that, and it took me a long time to fully understand that. And so, I don't worry so much. And if I do wake up in the middle of the night with something, I start to pray again. And usually I find I fall asleep pretty quick rather than just waiting to go to sleep. Although as I get older, there's other reasons why I wake up during the night now too, but those things happen with age, they tell me. I don't know. Right? So my wife said, she said, yesterday you're out there dragon boating and you're doing all this stuff out there with these ones in Woodstock. And she said, you're there and, you know, you've got doctors, you've got lawyers, you're there as a pastor. And I said, you've got all these people together. And I said, it was community. There was nobody about who was better, who was going. There was no complaint about, oh, you should have done this and we would have won the race. It was like eating that piece of watermelon, you get a seed. What do you do with it? I remember as kids, and I remember my kids, I was sitting horrified at, we were out at a picnic, and they started spitting the seeds out and trying to see who could get them the furthest. I said, and I thinking about it, and I was kind of embarrassed by it all because we're outside and they were doing this, and I'm thinking, well, at least they weren't spitting them at each other. And how many times do we take those little seeds like the watermelon, those unpleasant things, and sometimes we spit them out and say words that hurt. Words that are like little darts that come out from Satan in there, and we don't say to be satisfied with our lips and be praised with it. Watermelons, which was a weird topic to take on, I don't know why, but we did it on here. But all I could think about was the thirsting, about how God calls us to thirst for His knowledge. He wants us to be there. He wants us to be in that relationship that He is there as a confession of His faith and His steadfast love for us. Because God's hesed, or true love for us, is of trust and of hope and of salvation. And that's where He wants us to be. He wants us to be in this right relationship doing what He wants us to do. He wants us to be like the watermelon, that every part of it is useful. There is no wasted part on a watermelon. Every part of it can be used. And that's how He wants our lives to be, like that watermelon. He wants our lives to be, every part of it to be useful and is beneficial to His praise and glory, and what we can do and what we can see. There was a lot of trouble in there with martyrs that came in on salvation religion that gave up their lives for their belief in Him. The danger that evolves in there is that they start to sometimes take value in their own lives as a primary reason to trust God for what they do, rather than of God working in their lives to allow that trust to be on. Because God is always there, as it says in verse 7, you have been my help, my soul follows close beside you. And the actual culmination of all this promises there is basically found a final prayer. And there's a final prayer in this psalm that as a watermelon that every part is good for it, that we thirst and quench for it. But the king will rejoice in God, all who swear by God. And at that time, they always wanted their rulers, which were their kings over them, will swear by God's name, will praise Him, and the mouths of liars will be silenced. So each leader or king that was in there, there was this prayer and this psalm that went with them that they would be in relationship with God, that they would meditate upon God's word and would reflect God's word and God's commands out to the people in there. Would be like the watermelon that can be grafted and carried and changed over into everything that is there. It can be changed into that one. Into a gourd where I've seen it down in Rio de Janeiro that they've got candles lit in there. And on All Saints Day, you have these candles written out from this gourd showing the light, as they worship those in their lives, giving thanks for all who have come in, giving major thanks. Watermelons. Food. Medicine. Thirst quencher. and even a helmet to keep the rain off your head. Our Bible and our words of God are that thirst quencher for us. At different times, you can turn into the Bible to any part in there and find something that is there. But in Psalm 63, it lifts our voice and calls us to find that quenching in a dry and thirsty land out there. That in this world that says you can't do this, that you can. That God is with you. God will quench your thirst. And as we develop in our Christianity deeper and deeper, we find ways to be more and more satisfied and more hungry for God's Word and the meaning that is there.